And we'll try to do it because we have to move on a little bit to the Middah HaRaviyis and HaChemishis and Shishis, possibly. So first we'd like to go through just the basic message of the Torah Devaira, Perek Beis, Middah HaRaviyis. In the standard Torah Devaira, it's Daf Lamed Aleph. So again, the Torah Devaira is being Mamshech, in basically in what our obligations are to try to emulate the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here now he's referring to, what you're going to notice is that in all of these midos, starting in Perek Beis basically, he's referring to the mission of each and every Aver that has a particular tafkid, how we should control our limbs, how we should control our Avarim. And basically the limbs that he's talking about are all parts of the face. And the idea is, because being that man is created B'Tzelem Elokim, Tzelem Elokim is reflected by the face of the person, and therefore a person has to know what is the proper direction. How does he use his eyes? How does he use his nose, as a matter of fact, as he points out? How does one use one's ears? The Tzelem Elokim is not just the front of the face, it's actually referring to all the details that you have in the face. As a matter of fact, as he pointed out before, he was talking about the Meitzach, he was talking about the forehead of the person. So now in the Middah HaRaviyis, he's talking about the ears. How is a person supposed to conduct himself regarding the ears? There's a time of the Torah, and he says that Shiyu Oznov Noitois Tomid Lishmoya HaToiv. The obligation of one's ears, how to use one's ears, in order that one is Mikayim V'Holachto B'Drochov, is that he makes sure that his ears should always turn to hear good. Again, Shiyu Oznov Noitois Tomid Lishmoya HaToiv. What it basically means is, the depth of these words, a person should have an inner desire to want to hear good. Unlike the world today, that people are mostly interested in pursuing all types of news sources that depict the weaknesses of man, that depict all types of negative behaviors, and somehow they're very excited about the more sensationalism it is. That is the hepech. That is the hepech of what the yid, a yid who is endowed with these particular features, how a yid is supposed to use his ears. Which means that the cheshek and the tshuka of a yid would be not to have a desire to listen devorim roim, to hear negative things that happen in the world. Even things, by the way, that's not even a gaya to him. People have a desire to hear about devorim roim, hear about negative things, hear about all kinds and types of negative behavior, even though it's no shaykhus to him. The fact that it's happening somewhere in the world, he's interested, and he reads pages and pages about that. With the terms of verse telling us that the ears of a person, because this is part of the makeup of the Tzelem Elokim, they should be noita. Noita means that they should be leaning towards this direction. How should they be leaning? Noita is tomid lishmoy ha-toiv. That's what noita means. That's where the direction of your ears, that's the way they should be guided. They should be focused to want to hear only good things. Dvorim toivim, not to hear dvorim roim. And he goes further. Onom, he says, Shema shov oy hamagune lo yikonez bem klal. And as far as sheker, false reports, things that are meguna, things that are despicable type of reports, the Yekonez Bem Klal should not allow it to enter in his ears at all. Why? Because our ears are basically a reflection of the Tzelem Elokim, and therefore they have to be a me'ain of the ears of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that is Kiderech in the same way. He said, just like Shesoid Ha'azonahu El Yoino, just like when we talk about the listening of Shemayim, the ears, as it were, the Oznaim Shelamala, the Oznaim Shelamala, meaning the ears of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Shum Tzakas Din V'loi Pegam Loshon Hara Nichnashom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not allow any damaging Loshon Hara to go there. Reuven will speak Loshon Hara against Shimon to Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not here to accept Reuven's Loshon Hara against Shimon. And Mamela, in the same way, Kach Lo Yazin, so to the person, the human being, should not listen Eloha Toivois, should not allow his ears only to listen to things only that are good, v'hadvorim hamoyilim, things that are practical use, dvorim b'talim, narishkaiten, not be necessary, nothing bad, but the fact it's not dvorim is no use. It's no use, it's just a waste of time. They don't belong in your ears. Ears should be used for positive purposes. Lishmoya dvorim toivim or dvorim hamoyilim, things that have a practical benefit. And then it goes further. Usharadvarim, and with regards to other things, other types of messages that one might hear, hamagbirim kas, which basically if you hear this, it's just going to arouse your anger. Lo yazen aleihem klal, you should b'chol not listen to it. By the way, the Talmud Dvar in a number of different midos, he always somehow borders and brings kas into it. Kas happens to be a yisoid ha-yisoidis of negativity, which is one of all of the midos rois that we'll soon see in the sheet, actually. And that is something that had to be totally rejected. And of course, it's something that needs working on. And therefore, here too, when he talks about the gab of the ears, he also mentions the union of kas. How does he mention the union of kas with ears? Not to hear, not to lend his ear to things that are going to arouse the midos of kas within him. If he hears such and such a thing, it's going to cause anger. He should not allow it to enter his ears. Ukimoi. And therefore, in the same way, shahanochosh vidiburoi. The same way that the nochosh, that is the satan, that is the serpent, of course, vidiburoi lishoinoi. The words of the satan, the speech of the satan, ein and nichnas lamalo. Kodesh Baruch Hu does not allow entry. Where we're talking about entry, when we spoke of that in the most inner chambers we had above, a few pages back, which is called the Olam of Keser, because Baruch does not allow it all up to a point, but does not really let it, does not allow these negative messages to go away into the most inner of chambers. Kach lo yikonas eilav shum duver megune. A person, so to a ben Odom, should not allow any entry into his ears of these type of messages, these type of reports. Vahainu, and that is actually the meaning, when the Pasuk says, loisisa shem ashov, the Pasuk said, loisisa shem ashov, that do not allow shem ashov, which really, Chazal of Darshan, shem ashov means that a person should not accept, there's a number of perushim, should not accept, first of all, shem ashov is something that which is untrue, and Chazal say that this, in fact, is a lav against Kabbalah Lashon Hara, which, by the way, that means even if it is true. Kabbalah Lashon Hara means that if someone tells you something negative about someone else, even happens to be true, one also should not be mekabel that. Leisisa shem ashov, and kol shekem, and certainly shar hamegune, and other despicable things. Shloyikonis lozne klal. What does it mean, other despicable things? Because first he mentions leisisa shem ashov, which is false reports or kabbalah lashon hara, and then he says kol shekem, and certainly one should not allow shar hamegune, other despicable things to enter his ears. What are the other despicable things? A number of things. What could be worse than lashon hara would be moitzi shemra. That means when somebody is not only saying something negative about someone, but actually is making it up. It's pointed on true. So Lashon Hara, of course, is also, even if it is true. But what's even worse than Lashon Hara and Kabbalah's Lashon Hara would be accepting something clearly which somebody made up entirely, which happens all the time. So that would be Koshkin. Koshkin, this type of idea and notion one should not accept. But besides that, it's also referring to Nivel Pen, Litzonis, and so on and so forth. These type of manners of speech. So these are dvarim megunim oid, dvarim meusim. A person should not allow that to enter his ears. And therefore he says, ultimately, his messiah on this nekuda, v'leitia, he says, kesheves elo el hadvarim hatovim. One's ears should not be open to listening, only to good things. Okay, so here we have a little bit of a discussion concerning one's ears and so on. A person should not allow negativity, certain dvarim roim. Person should only allow his ears to listen to things that are useful. Person should only allow his ears to listen to something that is beneficial. And of course, Shmuas Toivos. You have to realize when it comes to the role of ears in Tumas Bechlal, in human life, how the Torah views the feature, this tremendous feature, this matona, that we have what is called the sense of Shmiah, the sense of hearing, to appreciate what that means. Of course, eyes, one of the most important things in the human body. Chazal go to the extent of saying that Isuma is Choshev Kemeis. Someone who is blind is not capable of seeing. Is Choshev Kemeis. He's really not a fully living person, in a sense. He can't really function properly. So Isuma is Choshev Kemeis. So we understand how important the role of eyes are. And yet we find in Halacha something very interesting. In Perek HaChoyv Masechta Bavakam, it tells us, regarding the Chiyuvim of payment, when you cause damage, in inflicting damage to somebody else's body, so it says, if simo es enoi, if you blind somebody's eye, so you pay the meyeno, you pay the value of an eye. How do you do that? You evaluate how much is a person worth with two eyes, how much, if assuming that he would market value. Of course, we don't sell slaves today, but just to have an idea. If a price tag could be affixed So you would evaluate how much the person worth, two eyes and otherwise minus an eye. Okay. So this would be a payment of tashlumen regarding eye. What do you pay if you actually make someone deaf? Chirsha, you make someone deaf. Noisenoi de mekuloi. You pay the value of the entire person. It's an amazing thing. It seems that the ability to be able to hear, which really goes down when your person hears something, it basically is not just accepted and received by the ears, but that basically goes right into his brain and sort of carves out the message that a person hears, actually carves out a place in the brain and becomes actually part of the person. A person is identified by the messages, by that which lies in his brain. Without the brain, of course, you're nothing. So therefore, the essence of man is defined by the messages of what he has in his brain. If you would be able to do a transplant and take Reuven's brain and put it into Shimon's mind, the person is no longer Shimon, he's Reuven. He may have the skull, he may have the outer shell of Shimon, but if you take Reuven's brain, that's the essence of the person. And information, which really, truly, in a certain sense of permanency, that is really carved out, is through the sense of Shemir. So be as it may, as we have over here, this is the Midah HaRaviyah that we talk about over here, regarding how one utilizes his ears. Now we go to the Midah HaChamishis. Which is the fifth Midah, again, now taking another feature of the Tzelem Elokim in the face of a person, and now he's going to the eyes. He says, what are the role of eyes? Because Baruch Hu gave you eyes. But you know, in the same way that when a person goes into this large store, you go into an electronical store, you go into a store that sells furniture, you go into a store that sells appliances. So you buy yourself a refrigerator, you buy yourself a new stove. What comes along with it? You have a book of instructions. It says, you know, if you want this stuff to work right, you have to operate it the way, you know, according to these instructions. This is the way the manufacturer, right, is telling you this is the way to use it. Otherwise, you're going to ruin it. It's not going to last that long. You're going to abuse it. Because Baruch Hu gave us these features. There's also a book of instructions. There's a manual that goes along with it. And that is the Torah that tells us the proper ways of how instructions, how you use your eyes, how you use your ears. So here we're having a little bit of the manual here in terms of what a person's obligations is, how actually to utilize one's eyes. So Einov, he says, lo yistakol bem klal bishum dover megune. One should not gaze anything which is a dover megune, something which is despicable. Don't abuse your eyes. Omnom, tihiena, on the other hand, don't keep your eyes closed from witnessing and from seeing the needs of your brother, the needs of your fellow man. Somebody's going to say, you know what, I want to protect my eyes, you know, because I might see something. So I'm going to close my eyes entirely. Closing eyes in the figure of sense of speech, meaning that you're going to close your eyes to the cry and to the needs of your fellow human being. That, no. For that, keep your eyes and ears quite open, he says. Omlam tihieno tomit pikuchos. Make sure that your eyes really are open, lahashgiach, to be able to watch, ulurachim al umlolim kivikoichoi. And therefore, to have enough compassion as much as possible, because you actually are observing, you recognize their need. You basically are familiar with their unfortunate problems, and therefore be ready to help them, kifi koichoi, wherever it is possible. Ukishiyira bitzoras oni, and therefore when one sees the suffering of the poor, lo yatzi men of klal, he should not close his eyes. So here we have two roles in the eyes. The eyes should be closed, but yet they should be open. Should be closed from looking at the wrong things, and yet of course should be open, making sure that you see the right things, making sure that you notice and you hear and you recognize the suffering of someone else, and then see what you can do about it. It's not enough just to notice. So the purpose for noticing. The purpose of noticing is to try to do whatever within your power. Sometimes some people have more ability, some people less ability. But we're not asking only what you are capable of doing. That you should try to do. Eliz bainin bidato yolof. But rather you should give thought to the plight of someone else, to the plight of the needy, to the plight of the suffering. Let's pay attention. Give it some thought. Don't just let it fly by. Say, I can't do anything. Sit down. Maybe you spend 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. Maybe you start thinking, you'll figure it out. Many inyonim situations in life, if you just give it the time, you'll find solutions. The same way that when you have your own problem, you just have to dismiss it, you can try to figure out the ways and try to find solutions. Same thing with a problem that someone else might have, another fellow yid. That one should give it as much thought as possible. Not only that, be mispalo for him. Daven for him. And sometimes maybe he needs the help of other people. Maybe you can't help him directly, but you know what? You can introduce him to someone who can. Right? Or you can arouse the feelings of someone else who may, as a result of your intervention, help him. Do that in any way possible. So you try to arouse the Rachmei Shomayim, that is through tefillah, and then also through human intervention, b'fnei abrius. The Yisrachik, and ultimately, a person should distance himself mikol hashgocha ro. A person really should distance himself mikol hashgocha ro. Now, what hashgocha ro means is from noticing things that are bad. So what are we referring to, hashgocha ro? There are some of the Mefarshim say hashgocha ro means from giving someone what's called ayin hara. Because we're talking about the eyes now. So we're talking about the eyes, so therefore Yisrachik mikol hashgocha ro, meaning that a person should distance himself from giving someone the evil eye, from giving someone ayin hara, by not forgiving him, right? By not being happy with someone's success. On the contrary, being envious, and as a result, he gives him what's called an ayin hara. So the term of the vayiv yisrachik mikol hashgocha ro. The person should be extra careful. In the same way, kederach, because again, we are emulating the hanhoge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how is the eye of Hashem lamala work? How does the eye of a Kodesh Baruch Hu work? Kederach in the same way. Shehu'ayin el yoyna. Just like the uppermost eye, meaning the eyes of Hashem, pikucha, are always open, u'mistakel es tomad el atoyv, to see the good. We also should emulate that idea. And the emphasis is that the Talmud of the Ramak, of course, the Talmud of Ayra, who is the Ramak, the Baal Reishis Chochma, again, one of the classical Sifrei Musar, and the Reishis Chochma writes in Shar Anova, Perigalus, he talks about that included in the fact that he says that a person should be misrachik mikol hashgocha ro. He should be misrachik. He should distance himself from ayin hara. It also means what's the positive side? What's the positive side? To have an ayin toiva. There's ayin ro, and then of course there is ayin toiva. As a matter of fact, the idea, the importance that a person should have an ayin toiva, should have a good eye for someone, should really want to see the good, should really be happy with somebody else's success. The Gemara goes so far in telling us, concerning Iyuv, says the Gemara, that Godoil Mashinemra be Iyuv, that we find greater. We find in a particular sense, we find that it's greater. Greater Madrega is mentioned by Iyuv me Mashinemra Bavrom. The Ilu Bavrom, Ksi Bavrom Avinu, it says, Ki Yurei Elikimato, that you are a Rei Elikim. And by Iyuv it says, Tam the Yoshar, he was the Tmimizig man, right? He was wholesome, he was complete. The Yoshar, he was straightforward. In addition to that, he was the Yor Elikim. Avraham Avinu says one thing, he was the Yor Elikim. But Ba'iv says not only the Milo that he was the Yor Shemayim, that he was the Yor Elikim. He was the Ish Tam V'Yoshar, and it says, Visor Meira. And he would turn away from Ra, from anything bad. And the Gemara says, what does it mean? You think Avraham Avinu did not do that? What do you mean, Iyuv had that Milo? My Visor Meira. What does it mean that Iyuv had the Milo Visor Meira? Says the Gemara, you know what it means? Iyuv Vatran B'Memoinoi Hoya. He was a Vatram B'Memoinoi, which means that he shared everything that he had with anybody else. He was a Vatram B'Memoinoi. He was easy on his money, meaning easy to share it and to want others also to have in what he has. And Chazal gives us an example of how Iyuv would be Meichel, like keep the change or something like that kind of a situation. Gemara gives Mamish that kind of an example to Chenveni. He would not be makbid on every nakuda and every one. You know, so you have an extra dollar, so you have an extra 50 cents or something like that, the Gemara tells us. And the idea is that Visar Meira, therefore, means Visar Meira means turn away from being a Ra'ayin. That's what it means. Because that's the nakuda the Gemara is focusing on. That Visar Meira means turn away from being a Ra'ayin. Because if somebody has the midah of being a Tzoras Ayin, if somebody is a Tzar Ayin, he himself is called a Ra. It's not just a function of a behavior. Somebody who has the mid of tzoris ayin is called a ra. He's a ra ayin. And therefore, if it says visar meira, what it means is therefore that he was beyond. He was away. He turned away. He was not a ra ayin. Forget, he was a toiv ayin, which is the hepech of ra. And the fact that he was a batrim b'mamoinoi. And all that is nichel on the words of the Talmud Devar over here, that a person v'yisrachik migol hashgocha ra, only to bestow toiv, to want to see toiv by someone else, and not to be envious of someone's good fortune, and so on and so forth. That again, that is now the function, that is the midah chamishis regarding enof, regarding the eyes. So now one more, Rabbi Isai will do midah hashishis, and then we'll elaborate a little bit. So the midah hashishis, now he really is discussing now, b'choitmoy, the nose. So as we work our way down to the various different Ivarim, we discussed forehead, we discussed ears, we discussed eyes. So now he's discussing Chaitmoy, the nose. The nose actually is symbolic. What is the nose symbolic of? You know, when someone is very, very angry, when he's furious, we say Charoin Af, the anger through the nose. You can hear it in his nostrils. You can see it, you know, by animals, by a bull. You can see that the anger, you hear the snorting. You see it's coming out from the nostrils. So the Af, which is in the Pasuk also, Charoin Af, the wrath of the nose. So when we talk about a person utilizing the Chaitim, utilizing the feature, because Baruch Hu gave him a nose, how does a person conduct his nose in the proper way? Meaning is controlling one's anger. So he points out as follows. When we're talking about b'chaitmoy, how does a person mekayim v'lachta b'drachov b'chaitmoy with the nose? He says, me'oilom lo yimotze boi charoin af klal. It's not an easy thing. Me'oilom. He says, never. He says, a person, this is off limits. That's, you draw the line. A person should never be found with him, should find within a person really, really anger. That's something Bechlal does not belong by a Yid. Elatomid biyapoy, but rather concerning a Yid. Concerning it, because you realize the Lashon, how far he's makpid. He says, he doesn't just say a person should be memayit in anger. He says, lo yimotze becharoin af klal. He says, Bechlal should not exist. And the truth is, because it means a person has to distance himself at ketzei o'achroin, till the extreme, and so is mefurish, by the way, in the Rambam, in Hilchos Deis. Rambam says in Perek Beis Chodei, when he talks about the midah of kas, does not say that a person should just limit anger. But Rambam says, Bechlal, distance yourself to the other side, to the other extreme. There should not be any kas at all. So that's really the idea. This is what the Talmud Devarah really saying. He's not really being mechadish something on his own, which seems to be such a, sort of like an unattainable midah. Because in fact, the Rambam himself also writes that a person should be mizrachik himself at ketzei o'achrin, to the other end, to the other end regarding the inyan of kas. And then continue further, and so we go further. Says the Talmud Devarah, Elatomid ba'apoy chayim v'rotzo in toiv. He says v'arichasaf, and the truth is, always a person should have what's called a breath of life. A person should always have rotzo in toiv, goodwill. A person should have patience, and he should patience. He says that's called arichasaf. Arichasaf means patience, to be able to hold out, to be able to tolerate. Afilu lo'oysom she'einom mehugonim, even those who are unworthy. Now here's an interesting lashon. He says the person regarding kas, he says it should be tomid ba'apoy chayim, that a person should have within himself ba'apoy, referring to the controlling of anger. It should be chayim. It should be something of life. It should be an attitude of life. How is it connecting kas with the attitude of life? Tomid ba'apoy chayim. Charein af. Af means kas. Charein af is referring to kas. And but tomid ba'apoy chayim. What it means, possibly what he means is, because Chazal tell us that through the midah of kas can lead a person even to shvichas damim. Anger, right? These are all types of crime. Crimes of passion, crimes of anger. A person can't control himself, and later on, you know, he regrets it, but it's too late. In a fit of anger, in a fit of fury, anger can actually bring a person mamish to murder, to shvichas damim. So this, memela, the kavon of the Talmud Dvar, when he talks about a person should be merachik himself from kas, should always be in a matziv, which of course, positive, should be a matzav which always, of course, promotes life, not in a situation which somehow can promote, which is the opposite of life. Again, when someone is involved with kas, could lead in the opposite direction. So this means it should be ba'apoy, should be only chayim and rotzen toiv aleim. Continues further, and he says, the tomid reitze, he says, the attitude of a yid should be that the tomid reitze, that you should always want the malus rotzoin, to try to fulfill, you know, the desires of other people, ulahofi kol she'elo, and possibly maybe to fulfill any request, if possible. You should try. You should want to. Ulahofi kol she'elo, ulahachyois kol nitke. And also to be able to revive and blow some life into downtrodden people. Uplift them. This should be the avodah. This should be the function of a yid. Which is an interesting lashon over here. He says that, again, the Tomid Reitze, that the Yid should always want Lemalois Rotzoin, to fulfill the request, he says, Ulahofi Kol Shaila, and to satisfy every Shaila, every request that someone asks. What it means is, you know what he's saying here, not always, it's a fact. We have limited ability. Not always are you able to satisfy someone's request. But what you are able to want to fulfill, that hope, why can't I fulfill his request? Your attitude should be towards another yid that you should want to fulfill his request. Doesn't mean that you'll be able to. But there's no excuse for not wanting to. You should at least have a desire. That is something that you should aspire to. That's where the lotion is. V'tomid reitze. Doesn't say that you're going to be able to do it. But v'tomid reitze. But the attitude of the yid is that he should at least want to it. There are many things in life, maybe you don't have the ability to do it. But at least we should hope that there'll be a time, someplace, sometime, a situation where we will be able to do more than we're doing. So in this area in particular, he's pointing out now that if v'tomid reitze, that at least always he wants to. Whether he can do it or not, something else. Not always the poil where you'll be able to do it. V'tomid reitze l'malo yisrotze n'lhofi kol shelo. Right? And to try to satisfy every request, and to revive all downtrodden, broken-spirited people, should want to at least to do it. Maybe you don't have the means. So if you don't have the means, so then you don't have the means. But you should have a desire to be able to do it. You should really want to do it. That should be your attitude. And therefore, he says, from the breath of his nose, so to speak, should always, what should come out is mechilas avoin. A person's attitude should be an attitude of forgiveness, v'havoras pesha, and also to pardon, you know, those who have wronged. And again he's repeating, and not therefore to be angry with those who may have sinned against him, but should constantly be ready to be appeased, and always have a desire to want to do chesed, and to try to please, you know, as many people of course as you can. So there's a number of issues here before we go to the sheet, Rabbi Yisai, and that is as follows. It's kedai to mention regarding again the attitude that we see how much in each and every area. With the bottom line, what we see is that every feature, the common denominator regarding every feature that we have on the face, whether it's the nose, whether it's the ears, whether it's the eyes, the idea is to utilize it in a way that benefits others. To utilize every aver, every part, every chelik of our, that Kodesh Baruch Hu have endowed us, the common denominator, the eyes do it the way the eyes can do it. The nose does it in the way that the nose does it. The ears does it with the way the ears function. But what is the goal? The goal of all of these is to bring out and to make a contribution to try to benefit others. What's fascinating is that there is a medrash, which many, many Mepharshim are bothered by, which tells us a little bit of a maise about what took place when Rabbi Avua, of course, one of the Gedolei Yisrael, Chachmei Ashas, Chachmei HaTalmud, what happened when Rabbi Avua was Nifter. So the Medrash Rabbah tells us, it says, Kadomoch Rabbi Avua, when Rabbi Avua was Nifter, so Ach Velei, Shomayim actually gave him a picture, of the future world, of his reward. But they gave it him still in materialistic form, with symbolic, of course, of much more, but this was symbolic, because they showed it to him just before he left this world, just as he was about to leave this world. So Agvalei, they showed him Telas Esrei Nahare Afarsimoin. They showed him 13 rivers. Imagine 13 rivers, large bodies of water, of Afarsimoin, of persimmon, which means sweet smelling Nahareis, rivers. And this is supposed to be symbolic of a lot of schar, a lot of reward. Rivers of schar. 13 rivers they showed him. 13 rivers Nahare Afarsimoin. Vavua sees it. Omalei, Omalahu. He says to them, Ilan Daman, who does these belong to? He said they didn't tell him that this is his reward. They just showed him a picture, video. They wanted to know, does this belong to anybody? Who does it belong to? Who am I seeing? Whose char am I seeing here? Omer Leisa, they said, Didach, it belongs to you. So Omer Lehu, Sir Bevua said, Ilan Rabbi Avua, he says, this belongs to Bevua. Pani Amarti, and I thought, Lorik Yogati, he says, Vehevel Koichi Kolisi. Rabbi says, I didn't realize that I have anything, that I accomplished anything in life. I thought that he said, Lorik Yogati, that all that I did during my lifetime was really Lorik. I did not accomplish anything, I didn't achieve anything. All this reward really belongs to me. And all the Mepharshim ask, did Rabbi really think that during his lifetime he was one of the greatest tzaddikim around? So really, did he think that he really didn't accomplish anything, didn't achieve anything? Let's understand something, that when someone is an honor of a humble person, an honor does not mean that he does not know his matzahs. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Anav that the Torah says that ever lived. Bish Moshe Anamoy does not mean Moshe didn't know that he was greater than anybody else, but he was not arrogant about it. Didn't go to his head. That's what an Anav means. An Anav doesn't mean he doesn't know his Madrege. Moshe Rabbeinu knew what he was. He knew what he was. But just because he knew what he was, he didn't take credit for it either, because he says, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have chosen to speak to the other people in the way he spoke to me, they would have been the same Madrega as I am. Given the same kishroinus, given the same talents, if someone else would have had as I had, maybe he would have achieved even more than I have. So for many, many different reasons, it doesn't go to his head. That's what a nonav means. Not a nonav means that he doesn't know his matzit. The question is, what did Rav Hu say? Ani amati l'richa gati, I thought I have no schar whatsoever. And now that they told him, he was so surprised. This machmoshah therefore says as follows. This machmoshah is in Parashas Chayisorah. Chayisorah talks about the mis of Sorei Menu. So there this machmoshah, he says pshat there in that medrash. He says as follows. He says, you realize if you know anything about the history of Rabbi Avua, you know many times in Shas we encounter that there are different roles. Different Amaroyim had different roles in terms of their leadership in Klal Yisrael. Some of them were teachers of Torah. Right? They're teachers of Torah. They're Rosh Yeshivas. And they taught Torah. Others were great people. They were leaders in the sense that they were the spokesman. They were spokesman when Klal Yisrael needed to send the Shliach to speak to the emperor. And to be able to intercede on their behalf, to be few qualified people who were chosen, who had the talent, who had the ability to do it. Rabbi Avua, basically his career was doing Hatzola work on behalf of Am Yisrael. Hatzola work in Klal Yisrael. Chazal tells in Masechta Ksubis, that Rabbi Avua kad have also lebei Kesar. As a matter of fact, he was so mechubed in the palace of the Kesar, of the emperor, that when he used to come in, he was just a frequent visitor. So the servants, when they would see him, they would sing. They would sing like a choir would get together and sing the greatness, espousing the greatness and the chashivas, the high esteem that Rabbi Avua was held. Lamosha, what would they sing? Sharulei Amhosa. So the maidservants in the palace, in the court of the palace, would sing. They would sing, Rabbi the Ame, the leader of his nation, they would say to him. Medabar Nadumse, and all type of Tina Kedisha, that you are the torch, the light and the torch that gives illumination, and all types of different titles. In other words, Rabbi Avua's basic mission was he was Oisik B'tzarchi Yisrael. His mission was saving Klal Yisrael. Member of Parliament, you know, Rav Meir Shapiro was also a member of the Polish Seyam, and therefore, when it was needed, he spoke in perfect Polish. Rav Meir Shapiro, the Lubin Rod, in addition to everything else, he was an emissary. He was sent, not only him, the Rai Sharuf as well, Rabban Levin. Rabban Levin, in addition to his Gavlus B'Torah and all the Sforim that he wrote, Rabban Levin, in those days, going back pre-World War II, he also was a member, and therefore, whenever there was situations in Klal Yisrael that needed tending to, who would they send? Would send people who were highly respected, would speak the language perfectly, and with all of his koiches, all of his talent and kishoinis, Bez Hashem, they were successful. That was Rabban Levin, it was Rav Meir Shapiro. Rabbi Avua also. Rabbi Avua, his basic mission was serving Tzarchei Klal Yisrael, who was Oisik B'Tzarchei HaTzibur. He would be the one visiting Melochim, Visaring, visiting kings, making appointments, visiting kings, visiting people in high power. What about Bittul Torah? What about Bittul Torah that entailed? What about the Bittul Torah? After all, Rav Avua could have said, hey, listen, instead of spending, you know, first of all, traveling time, right, all those weeks, all those months, and preparation, and so on and so forth, can't do two things. So he could have said to himself, this is really a situation of Bittul Torah. Says this Machmoshe, when someone basically becomes a servant for Klal Yisrael, he's a loyal servant for Klal Yisrael. Yes, interceding on behalf of Klal Yisrael, giving of himself, giving of his guf, being makriv, sacrificing his own madregas and other areas of Avodas Hashem. Why is he sacrificing it? He's sacrificing it in order to benefit Klal Yisrael. Look at the Loshon. I have to tell you the Loshon, this Yismach Moshe. It's an incredible Loshon. Says the Moshe, Avol be'emes hi mitzvah gedoyle ma'oid. It's a mitzvah gedoyle when someone really gives up, gives of himself, sacrifices himself on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Kivim de tzarchei rabim hi, because this is tzarchei rabim. Now, so you'll say, okay, it's a big mitzvah. But what about my neshama? What about my neshama? I could have spent time elevating my neshama, sitting and learning, davening, and so on and so forth. Says Mach Moshe, The who, this type of activity, nois and shleimis lenefesh, kemoi limitair agdoshe. A person with an oisig bitzarche hatzibur gains shleimis hanefesh as if he would be sitting and learning, and he quotes, kemoisha omar hamagid lebeshoisis. In the Sefer Magid Mishorim, we know that the Beshoisir had a Magid who came and taught and revealed the many, many secrets. Soidis HaTorah. Among the things that the Magid told the Beshoisir, that in the same way that a person, of course, the best way we would hope, is through Limud HaTorah, to be able to rise to the highest Madregas, a person who sacrifices himself, who sacrifices, gives up his comfort, gives up anything else that he would like rather be doing, and certainly the areas of Avodas Hashem, he's sacrificing his neshama for Klal Yisrael, he gains, he does not lose, he gains all the shleimus hanefesh k'moy limud Torah Kedoshah. This is something Rabbi Avuha did not know at first. Avuha had thought that the fact that he spent so much time visiting emperors, standing before Malachim V'sarim, how many hours, right, instead could I have sat and learned? So Avad, I'm doing a good thing, but how can you compare that compared to the potential that I had in the other world? I could have been in the world of Marbitza Torah. I could have been in the world of being a Melamed Torah. That's what he meant, Lorik Yogati. That I wasted the koich, the potential of the other world. I could have sat in the Ruchnit Degur. I could have sat in the Dalet Amos Shel Aloch. I could have sat in the Beis Medrash. So they showed him, no. They showed him that all of this schar that you have, he says, is in fact for you. Because you, Rabbi Avuha, did one of the greatest things that he is able to do. Sacrificing yourself, your wants, and your own needs on behalf of others. So here again we see, this is the Vahalachta Bedrochov. Mahu Chanu Navato Chanu. Mahu Rachum Navato Rachum. The Vahalachta Bedrochov is not just a mitzvah, but the more kium, the more you're mekayim, you're fulfilling Vahalachta Bedrochov, there's shleimus hanefesh. The more that a person benefits others, the more that a person sacrifices himself on behalf of others, it's not just a mitzvah. But your neshama becomes greater. The neshama becomes heightened. It's a ticking in your nefesh. As Yisrach Moshe pointed out, it's a mitzvah gedoyle ma'oyed etzarchi rabim. But when nois and shleimus lenefesh, he says, kemoy limud ha'Torah. Mamish like limud ha'Torah. And I have to tell you that this, in fact, is a point, quite a similar point, which is mentioned by Meir Simche. Meir Simche mentions in his Sefer Meshech Chochma, of course, and he mentions it in Parshas Noach. And he bases his words, incredible words. When Meir Simcha says in Meshech Chochma, Parshas Noach, the Medrash says, the Torah testifies, Noach was an Ish Tzadik. Not Tam an Ish Tzadik. Noach was an Ish Tzadik Tomim. He was a complete Tzadik. He was a perfect Tzadik. Moshe Rabbeinu, we know what Moshe Rabbeinu was. We know that. Omar Rabbi Rechye, Choviv Moshe Minoach. Moshe Rabbeinu was more Choviv than Noach. Noach was a Tzadik, true. He was a Tzadik Tomim. But Moshe Rabbeinu was more chovy. He was more beloved to Kodesh Baruch Hu than Noach. Where do you see it? Noach, because follow the life history of Noach. Noach starts out as a tzaddik. How does he end? By the end of Parshas Noach, he becomes an Ish Ha'adamah. He had a Yerida. He starts out as a tzaddik. Mishenikra Ish Tzaddik, but then later on, Nikra Ish Ha'adamah. Vayochel Noach, as the Torah said, he profaned himself, right? Vayochel Noach with the whole thing, with the wine, with the carrot. Vayochel Noach, Ish Ha'adamah. Moshe started the other way. Moshe, the first, by the way, introduction, the way the Torah calls Moshe, is called an Ish Mitzri. From an Ish Mitzri, he's called Ish Mitzri. Later on, he's called, by the end of his life, Zoyis HaBrocha Sheberach Moshe, Ish Elikim. Take a look, the same word Ish. He starts out in the beginning, Ish Mitzri, and from Ish Mitzri, what becomes Ish Elikim. Noach starts out as Tzaddik, and how does he end? He ends up as Ish Ha'adamah. Moshe Rabbeinu the other way around. Moshe Rabbeinu starts out as Ish Mitzri, and he ends toward the end of his life. That Ish Mitzri not only becomes, he pulls himself out of becoming a Mitzri, but he raises himself up to becoming an Ish Elikim. Mamish an Ish Elikim. What does that mean? What is the difference really between the two? What is the essence? How do you define the difference between Noach and Moshe Rabbeinu? Says Rav Meir Simche, the Yeshnei Drochem Bavoides Hashem Yisborach. There are two ways of serving Hashem. There are two ways. And by the way, we know by tzaddikim, we know there were different mahalchim. But Chabad Rav Meir Simche, this is the mahalch that he takes. He says, Yeshnei Drochem Avodas Hashem. Derech Echad, one way of Avodas Hashem is, you lock yourself into a room. You're misbited yourself. You cut yourself out from the world. And day in and day out, right? You are oisek and avodas Hashem, Torah and Tefillah, right? And doing possibly acts of tzedakah and chesed, but you're not mixed with anybody else. Basically, you stand within your dalaramis, and that's your mokim. Mishemiyached atzmoy lavaydosa yizbarach umizbaydeit. Mizbaydeit means he secludes himself, he cuts himself out from the world, he's not teaching other people or anything like that. He is sitting and learning, doing on himself. He's working on his own shleimus hanefesh. That's one mahalach. V'yesh, he said, but there's somebody else, mishoisik b'tzarchi tzibur, mevatl atzmoy. And he's mevatl his own growth, b'shvil haklal umatkir at nafsho yavura. Now, if you can ask an outsider, standing from outside looking in, which person, right, which person is doing more, right, as being an Oved Hashem? The person, basically, who has no bittul Torah, the person who's sitting in his Dalet Amos all day, and in fact, that's what he's doing. He's all day, he's like an oisik b'toiru b'tfilah. The other person is an oisik b'tzorcha tzibur, he's being mafkir himself, he's being mevatl himself. He has much less time to learn. He has much less time in Avodas Hashem. Says Remeir Simche. Lefi hamusik means according to the Ashkofer Rishoyin, according to simple logic, shezeshim is boidei, the one who secluded himself, has no nisyonis, has no challenges, has no yuridis, right? Has no reason to slip. He has cut himself out from the world, and clearly he is oisik, right? Most of the hours of the day in Avodas Hashem, that person yala mala mala. But the other person, who is mafker himself for tzarchei haklal, says Rav Meir Simcha that he has a yerida. You're going to say he's yorad memadregoso. In other words, if he had some madrega, he probably lost it. Why? Because he's not feeding it anymore. He's not fueling it anymore. He has dedicated his life on behalf of Rabbim, and therefore it's taking away from his own personal growth in terms of godless betayr and godless in Yerushamayim and godless and so on and so forth. Says Rav Meir Simcha, nevertheless, we see it's not so. Because Zeh Motzonu, she noyach his boydeit, noyach take was able to be a tzaddik, that's how he started out. V'loi hoichiyach az b'nei doiroi. Noyach did not rebuke members of his generation to try to change the Dora Mabu. He did not. The Dora Mabu remained as they were, in spite of having a tzaddik in the midst, because Noyach's derech was for himself. He was in his Dalet Amos. L'chein omru olof. Therefore Chazal say that being that Noyach did not do anything to help the generation, he should have really been caught up with them, except he says, this was Noach. He was zeichet to be saved l'maisa. Says Remeir Simcha, Noach acha shenikra ish sadik yorad nimadrei gosoi v'nikra ish adoma. A person only lives for himself, does not have a guarantee at all that he'll be able to maintain his madrega. If a person is only working on himself, one has to be ready and be aware that he might well slip. Noach became an Ish Adoma. On the other hand, Moshe started to be an Ish Mitzri. Ish Mitzri means to say is that Moshe was not born with the highest Madrega. This is Rav Meir Simcha going with the attitude, by the way, which is the attitude of Sifrei Chassidus, because the big controversy in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was born, was he born with the highest Neshama possible? Or really was Moshe Rabbeinu born with the lowest of features, but through his own efforts, he was able to transform himself to the highest madrega. In the words of Chassidus, Moshe Rabbeinu really made himself. He was a self-made man. He was not born the greatest madrega. Shulib Diskin had a different opinion, Kiyidua, which is a big world of controversy regarding what attitude to take regarding Moshe Rabbeinu. Remeir Simcha says here, Moshe Rabbeinu was called an Ishmitzri. Interesting, he takes the Chassidish world opinion. He says, Moshe was called an Ishmitzri. He says, Shehuchrach, he says, Legalois. He said, Shizemoira Pchisis Benefish. First of all, he needed Golus, which is the Pchisis Benefish. We showed that he needed Tikkun. But Hoyelu Mosar Atzmoy Al Yisrael, but because he sacrificed himself on behalf of others, he sacrificed himself on behalf of Klal Yisrael. By killing the Mitzri, he took up for the cause of another Yid. Nikra Ishalakim. Shehigia L'Tachlis Hashlemes Mashiyuchal Odom L'Hasik. The highest, not only he became high, the highest Madrei. Ishalakim is the highest title. So here you see the contrast between Noach, who actually starts out as an Ish Tzadik, but unfortunately ends up as an Ish Adoma. Why? Because he was only working on himself. He was concentrating on his own Aliyah. He was concentrating on his own Madregas. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the other hand, could start out as an Ish Mitzri, but if you're ready to give of yourself the microphone on behalf of others, you have now the potential, the Siyata Dishmaya, to become nothing less than an Ish Elokim, which Moshe Rabbeinu became. So again, this is very, very interesting, again, what the avodah the yid should be, and the contribution that a yid should always try to make, should always try to make on behalf of others. I just want to tell you, and maybe I should just mention this because it's just too good of a piece of information not to mention it. We're short on time already. And that is, I have a few lines of a tshuva of Rabbeinu Eliyahu Mizrahi, of course, the great Mizrahi, the Rei, one of the great Mefarshim on Rashi. Mizrahi talks about the time that was in his tekufa when Yidden were expelled from Spain during the expulsion. So he writes as follows. This is in the tshuvas, in the Shalz tshuvas. Not everybody even knew there's Shalz tshuvas from Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi. Sifta Chaman brings them all the time, not the tshuvas, brings the Pirish. Pirish HaMizrahi Al HaTayre. But the Shalz tshuvas El Yom Mizrahi. That's in Siman Samach Vov. And he writes as follows. He says, Kol Anshei HaGirush, all the people, the Yidden that were expelled, Kiblu Kavoid Meyodi, I try to be Mechabed them Kifi Yecholti, as much as I can, within my power. Voisisi Lohem Kame Toivis, Kashu Yegidu Hem Biatzmo, I did many Toivis as they themselves will testify. Im Begufi, physical Toivis, I did physical Toivis. Ki Nitzta'arti Aleim, I had pain and tsar for their plight, Koroiv Lishono Achas. A whole year, he said, I was Mitzar. I suffered because of their tsar. Their tsar was my tsar. What did I do? I didn't just sit back. The kibbutz momo, and I was raising money. Became a collector, he says. Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi says he became a collector. The kibbutz hamomo nasher kibatzti bepidyoin. Kama meyos prochim. Prochim is the kind of money. The dam, like here you say dollars, pesos, you know. Kama meyos prochim. Hundreds of prochim, he says. As a result of raising money, you think it was easy? Look what he writes in those days. Right? Going back like almost 600 years ago. I entered, he says, into great machloikis with all of the various gehilois, v'kabatzti lohem, and I collected shloisha oy arba pa'omim koroiv shloisha alofim prochim, 3,000 prochim. Again, large amount of money. Not only that, there were many ashirim didn't want to give. You know what I did? I put them in chayri. V'nodisi v'hechramti Lekame balabati mashire ha'oris babur shloi rotzu litein mashe bikashnu mehem. They didn't want to contribute their share, which we assigned to them, which we asked from them. Then he says further, the im b'memoini, and you think I only collected somebody else's money? I gave my own money too. Now sometimes you collect, you know, so other people's money. You're generous with other people's money. No, I also gave my own money. Kashi Yidua Lashem Yizborach, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, Mashi Yotza Miyodi Memoini, Umashi Pizarti Bavura, my own money. So money I gave away. I gave away my guf, tsar, he says, I gave away. What about my ruchnias? What about my ruchnias? Ve'im benafshi, and about my neshome, he says, Ki nistakanti meroiv tsar v'hayogin yoyma v'layla. I poshet came to a matzav of sakona, he says, poshet na sakona, and he says, "Besichli regarding my seichel," he says, "Botalti limudi ve'iyuni koroiv shana achas baburam." I kamat did not learn. I kamat was not able to learn a whole year because I gave myself for them to be able to benefit them, to do tovus to them, to be able to benefit others. Here again, you have an attitude of gedolei Yisrael. He said, "A whole year kamat he wasn't able to learn. Simply not be'iyun. Ki botalti limudi ve'iyuni." My limud and my iyun, I was mevatel koroiv shonachas. So in addition to causing me money, in addition, he says, to causing me tsar, physical tsar. My seichel I wasn't able to apply. My neshama, everything else. And so on and so forth. So let me just conclude one nekuda here over here. And to mention, it's an interesting thing. There's a sefer called Moiris HaGdoilim. And it brings there that, of course, one of the great Talmidim, Rabbi Sro Salanter, you know, Rabbi Naftali Amsterdam, one of the great, great Balamuser. Rabbi Naftali Amsterdam, here he was a chaver, you know, with Rabbi Yitzchok Petterberger and so on and so forth, you know, the greatest. Rabbi Naftali Amsterdam, because being a Balmuser, what is a Balmuser afraid of? Afraid of many things. COVID. Bamish afraid of COVID. Every Indian of honor, they run away. They shun honor. They shun COVID. They do anything in order to be a bereach min haKovid. So what did Reb Naftali Amsterdam do? Because he was afraid of a cheshash of Covid. He did not want to wear rabbinical garb. Pesro, by the way, Pesro Salanta didn't wear either. He didn't want to wear rabbinical garb, but rather to dress like all the common folk, like anybody else. He says, and therefore he went, not only that, he went to the extreme, to the other extreme. Not only, he wore the cheapest and the lowest. So if someone would look at him, you'd think he is one of the lowest on the totem pole of society. So he wore not just the average, with an average person, but he wore really the most cheapest and the most poorest and the most lowliest type of begotten. Partially because he wanted to distance himself to the Kitseyo Achron, to the fullest extreme. He wanted to distance himself from COVID. His wife was not agreeable to that. His wife, my husband is a Godel B'Yisrael. Why should he walk on the street and people think that he's just a peasant of some sort? He deserves the covenant that he deserves, that which he is. Deserves the covenant of that which he is. And as much as Rav Naftali Yamsam, being a Balmuser, he was pretty bright. As much as the Terutzim that he tried to give his wife, she wouldn't accept it. He says, he tried to explain in Yiddishkeit why it's important, because for the Neshama, he didn't buy all that, he says. He says, all of your reasons, he says, it's not Kovod HaTorah, it's something, said, I oppose it, that you, as much as you abhor wearing rabbinical garb, he says, nevertheless, she did not accept it. She says, it's not befitting, it's a bizoyim. You cannot wear simple clothing that you're wearing. So as a result, they go to Rav Salanter. Rav Salanter should make a pshara. Who's right? And so Yisrael asks Rav Naftali Amsterdam, and he says to him, after Rav Naftali gives him all the terutzim, all the reasons why he's doing it, he wants to run away from COVID, he wants to distance himself from COVID, he's afraid of a cheshash gaiva, and so on and so forth. That's why he wants to be a simple person, he wants to give the appearance of a simple person. Rav Yisrael says, I want to ask you one question. He says to him, how do you define gemilas chasodim? How do you define it? Well, of course, everybody knows gemilas chasodim is doing favors to others and so on and so forth, right? Bestowing benefit on others, doing favors to others. He says, no. That's not the ultimate gemilas chesed. The ultimate gemilas chesed is doing for others that which you really don't want to do. But others need that. Others need that. Doing for your wife that which you don't want to do, he says, that's gemilas chesed. You talking don't want to do it. But this is not, this is the cover of your wife is here involved. The ultimate of Gemilas Chesed is not time to do favors for others, to do things which is against your grain, but because it benefits others and others will have Hanoah. That's what Gemilas Chesed is. So again, Gemilas Chesed means sacrificing yourself on behalf of others. So it's just another indication similar to Yom Mizrahi. Some of the Yoyla might remember many years ago by one of the Aguda conventions, may have some slight details a little bit wrong, but the Ashkof of the Maizah, certainly I have right. And the Maizah basically was, I believe it was by Shalashudis. Rabbi Yankel Kamenetsky had his slot. I still remember him speaking by Shalashudis at the Aguda conventions. And Rabbi Yankel and Rav Ruderman, they were coming in to Shalashudis to take their seats, but the sessions have started. They were delayed. So the sessions have started, which meant that if you go through the crowd, the oil is going to get up. That's what always happened. So Rav Ruderman says to Rabbi Yankiv, he says to him, I believe it was Rav Ruderman, that's why I'm not sure who the other one was. I think it was Rav Ruderman. So Rav Ruderman says to Rabbi Yankiv, I think that there's a back entrance to the dais. There's a back entrance. You don't have to go through the hall, the auditorium. There's a back entrance. As a result, we'll be able to make it to our seats, not disturbing anyone. And Rabbi Yankiv says, Rav Ruderman, he says, normally says, you're right, but our wives are sitting there. They derive such hanoah when they see the Olam is giving Kovod HaTorah to us. He says, we're going to walk through the auditorium. This is another cheshm of Gemilas Chesed. So much as maybe they don't want it for themselves, but the idea, Gemilas Chesed, you don't look what's best for you. Act of Gemilas Chesed is, what are really the needs of others? What are the concerns of others? The Baruch Shem will help my boys. By the way, keep the sheets for next week. I was sure we'd be able even to finish it. We didn't even start it. So Bez Hashem, next week we'll go further. And by next week, hopefully, we'll be a notch higher than when we started Bez Hashem and continue in the exercise of a halakha b'drachah.